Welcome to the Writer's Weekly Podcast, a forum geared toward the writing enthusiast and those who want to make money from their writing. I'm Brian Whidden, Managing Editor of Writer's Weekly, and I'll be your host along with Angela Hoy, the creator of Writer's Weekly and President and CEO of BookLocker.com, a full-service book publishing company. Whether you want to learn how to become a professional writer, how to find writing gigs, or even publish your own book, then you come to the right place. We'll be discussing all kinds of topics relating to the writing and publishing industries. Don't forget, you can also click over to writersweekly.com. There, you'll find not only thousands of articles about professional writing, you can also find current paying markets and job listings to help you boost your writing career and even your bottom line. But for now, let's get on to this episode of the Writer's Weekly Podcast. And welcome again to another episode of the Writer's Weekly Podcast. I've almost forgotten how to do that now.
It's been a rough 3 weeks. We're back.
I'm Brian Whidden. I'm here with Angela Hoy. We did not give up on the podcast. We haven't had an episode out in almost, what, 3 weeks? Almost a month now?
3 weeks, but we had the COVID thing, and then I had to take COVID. A trip. And
It's been one thing after another. Starting with COVID, though, it was almost a month ago. I was feeling just a little bit under the weather. Had a little tickle behind my nose, but still went out bass fishing with my friend at 5 a.m.
That was a mistake.
Got in the boat. We checked the weather. It was supposed to only be cloudy. Wasn't supposed to rain. Crap in one hand, wish in the other, see what happens. It rained. When it started to drizzle, we're like, oh, this is just going to pass over in no time. After 10 minutes of still drizzling, we said, well, it should be going away soon. After about 20 minutes of regular rain, my friend's like, hey, I got some rain gear in a compartment here. You want some? Please? Yeah. But now we're putting rain gear on top of wet clothes. And I don't know. I think it was in the 60s that morning.
Well, then we could have done an episode if either one of us had a voice.
Well, not only did I not have a voice, but then we each went through about a week where if you started to talk, you just went into a coughing fit.
Yeah, I had employees calling me, and I would say, I can't talk.
Yeah, I literally had people calling me on the phone, I just can't talk right now.
Yeah, just text me.
Because I would just go into this 2 minute coughing fit, and as soon as it subsided, if I tried to say anything, I'd start over again.
Yeah, so it was rough.
So it took us about two and a half, 3 weeks to recover from that.
And then I had to go down to Florida for 2 days. Mm-hmm. You couldn't come because you weren't feeling well. Mm-hmm. And so I took Mason, our 19-year-old. Every year we go down to Florida for our son Frank's annual Halloween party. And it was great. We had a really good time. Frank set up some pranks to get me and Mason. Right when we got there, we started getting scared. There was a big ghoul in the shower. Frank's like, look at my shower head. Isn't it cool? Pull across the curtain. Mason and I both screamed. There was a snake in my bed. Oh, good time had by all. And then on Sunday, I had to pack everything up really fast. Mason and I did, and raced out the door because there was a huge storm system coming through. And I didn't want to get caught in flash floods and everything. And we weren't in the Jeep for 30 minutes, and the radio beep beep burr, burr, you know, and the so one weather warning after another, but it did rain all the way home, but we didn't get any of the flash flooding, and we got home safe and sound.
And then this week's just been full of all kinds of administrative nightmares.
Well, it's been Halloween too.
And Halloween and this and that, so we're back.
And we've got a very good episode for you this week, and it's actually going to be two parts because there's a lot of information to share.
Yeah, so we've In one of our last episodes that we talked about scammers, we mentioned a group called Yahoo Boys, and I said that we probably ought to do a little research and do some do a podcast episode on that.
We asked if people wanted to hear about it, and people wrote in and said, we want you to hear about it.
Here we are. We're going to talk about a group of scammers known as the Yahoo Boys. So has anyone ever reached out to you on social media or via text, email, maybe through a website, either trying to befriend you, flirt with you, maybe introduce you to an incredible, too good to be true investment opportunity?
Ooh.
Well, there's a good chance that you have been in contact with a Yahoo Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what's really disturbing about this, they're not just contacting you, they're contacting children as well.
Yeah.
But let's start with who are the Yahoo Boys? Where does this name come from? Well, they are, this name is specific to groups of young people in Nigeria and some in the area of Ghana,
yeah.
I believe. And if you ever heard of the Nigerian Prince scam, these are the guys that started that.
That was back in 2000, right?
It was early 2000s yeah. when people still weren't quite used to how the internet worked.
Yeah.
And people would get, you know, an email saying, I'm a Nigerian prince and I have millions and millions of dollars in the bank, but there's some snafu that's holding it up and I just need
your bank account information.
Yeah. Well, I need X amount of money and then that'll let my money, you know, clear up and get out of the bank. And then I can send you $100,000 for your $10,000. And people were falling for it, strangely yeah. enough.
And they're still falling for it, but
they're still falling
they work it a different way, but they work it many, many ways now.
Now, back in the early 2000s, Google wasn't that big a thing. Gmail wasn't that big a thing. The big email server was Yahoo.
Yeah.
Everybody knew about Yahoo on the internet. And
you
therefore,
could get a free email address from Yahoo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's mostly what these guys use, and therefore they took on the moniker of Yahoo Boys.
Well, I think most of them are using Gmail now, but
they still call themselves Yahoo Boys. You know, consider it like a gang name, like the Crips or the Bloods or something
right.
like that. They call themselves Yahoo Boys, and it's not one small little group. It's if you're a kid in Nigeria and you're scamming people, you're known as a Yahoo Boy.
Right.
Now within that. And there's thousands of them, thousands. Within that big number, there are individual groups, and they may name themselves mm-hmm. a particular name, but they're all Yahoo Boys. So that's where the name comes
and
from.
And they're primarily in Nigeria and Ghana. Yeah. However, they have spread to other countries.
Well, sure. Yeah.
And there's even some scammers that are actually located in the United States mm-hmm. who are part of that group.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They also so the Nigerian Prince scam was like the ground floor of all this, and it was the simplest type of scam. It's known today as an advance fee fraud, or what in their parlance they call it a 419 scam. You want to tell them why it's a 419 scam? Andy?
That is referencing Section 419 of the Nigerian Criminal Code.
Yeah.
So they're so bold they name their scam after a law.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like in LA where the gang members talk about 187 somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's criminal code 187 is murdering somebody.
Yeah.
Same thing here. They call it a 419 scam.
Yeah.
And
how it basically works is they tell you they've got some money they want to share with you. You give them a certain amount up front for whatever fee or taxes or whatever. Of course, you're never going to get the money. But again, it's gone so far beyond just that.
Yeah, yeah. And apparently it didn't take them a whole lot of time to realize that not only was scamming people lucrative, but teaching other
Nigerian kids how to do this is lucrative.
Yeah.
Because when you're, let's say, a 19, 20-year-old Yahoo boy who can flash a bunch of money in front of a bunch of teenagers, and you promise to teach them what you know, you can then recruit them to work for you.
And then you get a cut of it.
And then you're getting a cut of it. This is just like the mob. This is just like La Cosa Nostra.
Yeah.
You know, you got the big boss, and then he's got some lieutenants who run crews, and every crime that crew does, they're supposed to kick up some of their profits to the big guy.
And these guys that are teaching kids how to do it, they're called the Format Boys.
Okay.
I have no idea where that name came from, but they call themselves the Format Boys. Mm-hmm. And you know what the whole thing reminds me of? Amway. Except Amway, you actually get a product.
Yeah.
You know, with this, you get nothing, but it's a multi-level marketing thing.
Well, it's a multi-level stealing.
Yeah, right.
I mean, because these guys actually are making some money and then kicking it up.
Yeah, kicking up the chain, yeah.
With a lot of these MLM schemes, you spend a lot of money to get a bunch of products nobody wants, and you really don't make a whole lot after that. So
that's right.
Now, this is going to go a little bit back and forth, kind of like a tennis match, because Angie and I individually went and did our own research on this stuff. We didn't collaborate with this. So she found some stuff, and I found some stuff.
And we meshed our notes together.
And we meshed our notes a little bit together. So it might bounce around a little bit, but we're going to get a lot of information out to you. Now, if you're thinking, well, Nigeria, yeah, that's a poor country. So, of course, these poor young guys are struggling to, you know, make ends meet or struggling to feed themselves. So they're getting online and they're scamming some people because they got, you know, they're just trying to feed themselves. Well, I got news for you. If you just go on, say, YouTube and search for rich Yahoo boys, you're going to see that these aren't poor guys sitting in a slum with a computer to make, you know, to get some food that night. These guys are making millions.
Yeah.
They're driving around in Lamborghinis and Bentleys. They're flying around in jets.
They've become social media influencers.
They are.
Because of the way that they tout their.
They're heroes.
Flaunt their debt. Yeah.
They're absolute heroes.
Flaunt their millions. Yeah.
Now, of course, not all of them are rich. I mean, you know, you got to start somewhere, but this is big business in Nigeria. And you can see videos of these guys flashing big wads of cash, and they're wearing these fancy clothes, and they're driving around. I've seen videos of these guys. They're driving around in their big fancy car, and they literally have their own security force surrounding their car, marching in the street. They're dressed in camouflage, carrying AK-47s. They're like soldiers marching along in front and behind this guy's car.
All paid for by
you.
Yep. They're victims.
Americans and Westerners being scammed.
Yeah. It's not just the Nigerian prince thing. Let's get into the different types of scams. Of course, for our specific listeners, publishing, fake publishers.
Yeah.
They're involved in that.
They're involved in that too.
Yep. Yeah. They pretend they're a publishing company. They're going to publish your book. They charge you thousands and thousands of dollars. You never end up with even one book.
Yeah.
Romance scams, sextortion. We're going to get into that. That's truly heartbreaking because they're targeting teenagers and children. Mm-hmm. Crypto and so much more. I mean, the sky's the limit. There's not one stone they've left unturned without an idea. Hey, I bet I can talk people into sending me money for this, that, and the other. It's just incredible how creative they've gotten over the past few years.
Well, and if you watch some of these shows like Catfished and some of these other scam shows, when you hear the things that these guys are saying to people to scam them, it's almost like it's sport to them. It's almost like they're trying to see how stupid a thing they can tell you and still get you to give them money.
That's true. And what Brian's referring to is socialcatfish.com is the website. However, go to YouTube and search for Catfished and find their channel. And you will see hundreds of videos where they've investigated these types of scams, and they show the victims, and the victims share their stories, and they're heartbreaking, but they're also, man, the more you watch, you're like, how dumb can you be?
Yeah, yeah.
People think they're in love with somebody, and they will do pretty much anything to keep that feeling going. It's really, really sad.
So you've got a story of somebody that was scammed by a quote-unquote company called The Book Professionals. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us about that?
TheBookProfessionals.com. This is a woman who wrote into us to Writers Weekly, and she was scammed for $40,000. Now, at Book Locker, you can get your book published for $975. Why anybody would pay $40,000 is just beyond me. And we see this every single day now. It's just heartbreaking. Yep. She said, I made it clear that I did not have disposable income. I live on a fixed income, have good credit, and no savings. Chris, his name wasn't Chris.
Yeah.
They all have American names, and a lot of them have two first American names, like Chris Rob or Steve Bob, stuff like that. Chris repeatedly told me not to worry because authors don't need credit cards. In other words, my royalties would give me plenty of money to live on. He said, just trust me. We get into this later. Mm-hmm. That's a very common term. Trust me, trust me, trust me. Chris kept telling me, like me, he believed in God, or at least he said he did. Oh, yeah. One of the things they ask you up front is what your religion is.
Yeah.
And guess what? They're the same one.
There's a reason that they're doing that kind of stuff, too. They actually, again, if you're picturing, okay, this is Nigeria, it must just be some dumb kid in tattered clothes just learning how to get on a computer. But they're actually studying psychological manipulation.
Yes.
They are learning how to gain information from you and identify your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And then play on those. These are not stupid people.
Right, right, yeah.
Just wanted to add that.
Yeah. Like me, he believed in God, at least he said he did, and we had to think he would provide for us. After 2 months, when I realized my book project was not advancing, and I was not being allowed to review the work, that's a big red flag. Oh, we're on page whatever of editing, we've done this much on your cover, but they never show you a product.
Yeah.
Or they show you part of a product that you can't use anyway.
Yeah.
Allowed to review the work I'd paid for in advance, I began to doubt the legitimacy of the company. At this point, I had nothing to show for my time spent with the publisher. A phone call from Chris each morning. They contact you like every day.
They are persistent, aren't they?
Yeah. As long as they think you've still got money to spend, they're going to be so friendly. A phone call from Chris each morning, but deceit, unfulfilled promises, an investment of over $40,000, which I had paid in advance for services I never received. All in all, and there's more, and I'll put a link to this under this episode on writersweekly.com/podcast.
Mm-hmm.
She never got her money back, and now she owes $25,000 to her credit card company.
Yep.
Yep.
And basically, yeah, they just will keep coming after you and coming after you. And usually with these publishing scams, it's, you know, oh, we need this much more money to do this for you. Well, we need that much more money to do that.
One I got the other day, and we've heard this several times, needed $625 for the copyright registration.
Yeah.
Doesn't cost anywhere near that much in the United States.
Oh, of course.
Some countries don't charge anything for copyright registrations.
Yeah.
Also, the author needs a license to sell their book, and that's like $1,500. No such thing.
Yeah, at least not in the U.S.
They have a whole list of things you can buy that are completely worthless.
Yeah.
And this is one we've talked about before. This is the biggest one by far. An author hired, quote, a publisher in the Philippines. The owners of that business have since been arrested. They made the mistake of flying to the United States, and they got swept up. I think they've been in jail since last December.
Yeah, now
almost a year.
This was not Yahoo, boys. This was a whole other organization, and we'll probably do an episode on them someday.
Yeah, but they all work in the same way.
Well, they do. But I'm just saying this is Yahoo's boys episode, and we're highlighting an example here of just how bad people get scammed.
Yeah. Here. So they told him his book would make a great movie. Anytime somebody tells you that, unless it's a friend of yours who's not trying to sell you anything, it's a scam.
Yeah.
It's probably the most expensive scam in the publishing industry.
I've had that. I've had that. Oh, yeah. Hey, we think the book would be a great movie. That's funny. My book's a collection of just stupid stories about me being a cop. How are you going to make a movie out of that?
Oh, mine was The Emergency Divorce Handbook for Women. Yeah, it's going to make a great movie.
On how to get divorced.
Right. Yeah, maybe a documentary. But anyway, they were selling him on, you know, the script. He had to hire a screenwriter, then had to hire producers, had to hire everything to make the movie, had to, you know, the sets and everything. Well, that's not how it works. Yep. Production companies pay for all that, including the screenwriting. He lost over $1 million.
Yeah.
And he'll never get it back. And you remember, in Nigeria and other places, it's honorable, considered honorable to rip off Americans and others in the West. Yeah. I'll always remember that. How can they possibly do this to anybody? Yeah. Because they've been taught from a young age, hey, they've got all the money. We don't have any money. Go get it.
Yep. Well, there's definitely a difference of morality in different parts of the world. Now, not everybody in Nigeria is a scammer or, you know, dishonest, or there's good, you know, just like in any other country, there's good people, there's bad people.
I got to interject here.
Okay.
I was mentioning the Nigerian problem on Facebook the other day. Uh-huh. And there was a Nigerian on the group who was trying to scam people. Seriously, and got upset with me for blaming it on Nigerians, called me a racist.
Uh-huh. Well, you gotta call a spade a spade.
Yep.
And these things are highly prevalent in Nigeria.
Yeah.
That is a hotbed for this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There is a large population and a bad economy. That is true. A lot of my research was watching documentaries on this situation.
Yeah.
And they all start by telling you it's a huge country. It's almost a failed state. The government is so out of control and corrupt right now that nothing's getting done. So everybody's stuck, you know, going out on the street and selling whatever they can, or, you know, just coming up with it. I saw a guy that lives off of cleaning people's shoes. Mm-hmm. Sits on the side of a little dirt road with, you know, millions of other little vendors on either side of him. And he sits there and he'll, you know, clean your sneakers. Or, you know, it's not necessarily shoe shine because nobody wears those anymore.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, clean your sneakers and, you know, whatever. And that's how he's making his money. He's been doing that for 3 years. Other people go out there and make some food and try to sell it. Mm-hmm. Or some people are selling clothes, which I'm pretty convinced a lot of those clothes probably came from like UN donations and free stuff, and they went and raided some free giveaway place, and now they're out there trying to sell the stuff.
You mentioned the millionaires over there, and in a little bit, we're going to talk about two of them. There's two of them. We know exactly where they are right now.
Yeah.
However, I saw videos and photos of, I call them hacks in a shack.
Mm-hmm.
And they are literally guys laying on mattresses on the ground. There's a dirt floor. They're in a shack, in a metal shack, and they're all holding laptops.
Yeah, there are some of that. You watched live one time, I think it was on TikTok or something, bunch of these Nigerian kids are just sitting in, one's laying in a bed, a couple of them are just sitting around, and they're all talking about, we're so poor, we're so hungry, give us money. Remember they called you Angela?
Yeah.
Hi, Angela.
Yeah.
And it was all about sitting there saying, look how poor we are. Look, we need money. Send us money. And they'd be on there for hours
doing this. And what's interesting is they all had phones in their hands, and they had internet access.
They had internet access. Hmm. They had phones. They had computers.
They're
in this nasty little shack with a dirt floor and talking about how poor they are.
Yeah, you can click on the live on TikTok, and they will talk to you directly and beg you to send them money. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not.
So you've got young kids that, you know, already they're starting off, you know, poor.
Yeah.
And they're gradually taught that whatever you got to do to make some money is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then they see these guys running around in their, you know, fancy clothes and driving around these big cars. And most of them, that I saw that were interviewed said that. They said, oh, yeah, I saw so-and-so, and he's making, you know, $3,000 every single day.
Yeah, right.
And look at the clothes he's wearing and da-da-da-da-da. I wanted to be,
why
is it that I have to go home and my mom can't, you know, feed me but, a couple of beans or something? When this guy's got all this money, I want to know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And that's how they get started.
That's how they reel them in, reel in more workers. Yep.
They're also bringing money into Nigeria that otherwise wouldn't be coming into Nigeria, and it's going to be spent in Nigeria. Plus, there is, again, massive corruption in that government. Many of the Yahoo boys that I watched being interviewed said, oh, yeah, I pay bribes to cops all the time.
Oh,
they're not going to touch me.
Yep, yeah. I read about they found cops that were involved in the scams and government officials.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody's getting a little piece of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
And so just think about that as you, an American, sitting online. You think you're so much smarter than third world country people. But look at the size of what you're up against there. You got an entire country where, you know, again, not everybody, but you've got a whole government and you got thousands and thousands and thousands of people on computers.
Mm-hmm.
And they are being incentivized to go after you and your money.
And they know exactly how to do it.
Exactly.
They know exactly what strings to pull with, even with individual people. We'll get into that in a little bit, how they do that. But if you think that you're smarter than them, then you're probably wrong based on the numbers of the numbers of victims in the United States alone. Yep. The United States is losing billions of dollars a year being sent from American citizens over to Nigeria.
Yep. Okay. So, so this problem is spreading across the globe. But again, it's not just Nigerian kids. They have things like this going on in India. They got things like this going on in the Philippines.
Are Nigerians and others in the United States pulling the exact same scams.
Well, of course. Yeah. But they're
at risk of getting arrested.
They're smarter if they're doing it from Nigeria because
right,
our federal government can't touch you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing it in the United States and somebody can get a hold of your IP address, then you very well might get a knock at the door.
Yeah, that's right.
So why don't you talk about how these guys work together?
Well, they usually work in teams. They're called HKs. That stands for Hustle Kingdom. That's about appropriate, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
According to Google, that describes an underground informal cybercrime training centers operating primarily in West Africa, e.g. Nigeria and Ghana. These, quote, academies recruit and train young individuals, often due to a lack of legitimate educational and economic opportunities to become digital fraudsters.
Mm-hmm.
They gather in hotel rooms or warehouses, and they work as a team. So one person, and a lot of these people don't even have laptops, they're just using phones. Okay,
mm-hmm.
These are the low-level ones, but they're still successful.
Mm-hmm.
One person is on their phone, texting, WhatsApping, whatever, back and forth with the victim. And the other ones are on their phones researching the victim, which is very easy these days.
Yep.
And they're finding their pain points and what makes them tick. And again, it's a big psychological thing. And they're very sophisticated and very smart how they're doing it. As we've discussed in previous episodes, they use scripts. So they have scripts and guides and that tell them exactly what to do. They can literally search for something you say about, I'll give an example. I love chili. He says, what's your favorite food? I love chili. Instantly goes to a script and finds a response to that statement. I do too. What's your favorite recipe? Here's mine. Copy paste.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's that fast. They teach their members how to pull photos off the internet and make them look real. We've talked about that. If anybody contacts you and sends you a photo, do a reverse Google image search. You're going to find that photo all over the internet.
Yep.
Unfortunately, most people don't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Images.google.com. Upload the photo or put the link to it. A lot of older people are victims because they don't understand how to do that as well. They also teach the kids and the new ones how to use AI and make it look like the person in the photo is actually talking to the victim in a video that they make. And I've seen plenty of those when I watch Catfished. A lot of those people save those videos. man, they look real. It really looked like Johnny Depp was going to asking that woman to marry him.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, it's fascinating. So.
Also, one of the documentaries I was watching for my research, these guys actually, so, you know, they have these little unofficial little schools going on where they're teaching these guys, you know, how to do it. Mm-hmm. But these guys actually sell scripts.
Yes.
They sell collections of portfolios of photos that they have stolen off the internet. Mm-hmm. They sell instructions, you know, start with sending the, you know, to with reaching out and saying this. Number two, send them this photo. Mm-hmm. Number three, say this. And it walks them through how to and you can go online and purchase these little scamming kits on how to scam people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another source of income for them.
I'm not going to name the website, but a lot of those are for free on one very specific website that everybody who's listening has heard of. I'm not going to name it because, you know, I'm already worried about the scammers listening to this and getting lessons and stuff.
Okay, so how do these conversations begin that somebody winds up getting scammed in?
I'm going to give you a specific example because this is happening to me every single day. I have several thousand followers on Facebook, friends on Facebook, and I recognize their names, you know, some of them are authors' names.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden I get a private message from Jane Doe, okay? And I'm like, well, I haven't heard from her for a while. She said, hi, Angela, how you doing? Hey, where you been, girl? I haven't talked to you in a long time. How's it been going? Well, I'm doing pretty good. How's the family? Oh, mine's good. How's yours? And I got to tell you, I won the lottery. And you've been such a good friend to me. I want to share it with you. Now, Jane Doe is one of my friends. Of course, this is a fake name.
Yeah.
Did you figure that out yet?
You don't know someone named Jane Doe?
No.
Oh, okay.
This person found my profile on Facebook, went to my friends list.
Picked out a friend.
Picked out a name, created a new Facebook account using that exact same name, because you can do that.
Yep.
And private messaged me. Again, this happened to me several times a day.
Yeah.
I know all these names, but none of the people are real. And this is the lotto scam, which they're into also, and I won the lottery. I want to share it with you, but before I can send you any of the money, I need you to send me, you know, $100 or whatever for tax or for whatever processing fee, because the lottery company said if I want to split up the payments, I need to, you know. Anyway, they might reach out to you. Of course, dating sites. Why anybody uses dating sites anymore, I have no idea.
Yeah.
They'll reach out. Oh, you're beautiful. You know, a couple days later, will you marry me? Sometimes a couple hours later. It's ridiculous how they do it. You get a text on your phone from somebody you don't know. Oh, hi, wrong number. Oh, thank you for letting me know. My friend must have given me the wrong number. Oh, no problem. By the way, you sound like a really nice person. What's your name?
Yeah.
And then you start going back and forth. And then before you know it, you're in love with this person you've never met who is living in Nigeria and is not some pretty girl who sent you her picture. text messages, email, unsolicited email, unsolicited contacts on social media, letters in the mail. They even go to that trouble to do that. And phone calls.
Yeah.
And we now consider spam, used to be just unsolicited email. I now consider spam to be any unsolicited communication whatsoever from somebody, anybody, even somebody who just claims they want to be your friend or want to be your girlfriend or boyfriend. So
I've gotten several friend requests. You know, and you look at it, and it's some, you know, hot little 20-year-old something, and they'll send a message. It's like, you know, hey, I see that you're interested in something or other, or they actually, one of my friends may or may not have befriended this fake account, and they're like, hey, I see you're also friends with so-and-so. Why don't you, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I look at it. Now, I'm a pretty good-looking guy, I got to admit.
You are a good-looking guy.
But not for some 20-year-old. I'm well beyond anything that some young, you know, 20, 25-year-old girl is going to want.
Now, wait, and let's talk about that for a second.
Okay.
Because it's not unusual for, quote, young girls to be wanting sugar daddies or girls in their 20s to be interested in guys in their 50s.
Well,
that's not unusual at all.
Yeah, but they still get deleted.
So men might not have a red flag go up with that.
Yeah.
However, especially on Catfish, okay, and I know this sounds crass and rude, but it's absolutely true. some of these women in their 60s and 70s who think they're being courted by a guy, hot guy in his 30s, you look at them side by side and you're like, really, lady? Come on, how could you possibly fall for that?
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, again. Yeah.
And I think we're going to talk. Well, even worse is you've got some of these folks again. You know, I'm 55. I know that
you're 56.
Not yet. Gosh, you are quickly trying to push me over that hill, aren't you?
Oh, that's right. Your birthday's next month. Okay, never
mind. Next month. In case any of you listeners want to get me something. Anyway, where was I now?
Young woman like an hot man.
I know. And she's even close to my age. Jennifer Aniston don't want nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right, yeah.
Neither does... I have no idea the names to come up with,
okay.
But some young Hollywood star.
Do you know how many times Johnny Depp has contacted me?
Exactly.
Man, he thinks I'm the hottest thing alive. Brad Pitt, too.
Yeah. And yet there are, and again, these are Yahoo boys doing this.
Yeah.
There are 60, 70, 80-year-old women that when Johnny Depp reaches out to him, or Brad Pitt, they honestly believe that Brad Pitt wants to have a relationship with
him.
We watched that one guy on Catfished who said Jennifer Aniston was reaching out to him and she wanted to get with him, but she needed $5,000 because her manager said she couldn't spend any money on him. That wouldn't look right. So So he sent her money. And
that was the one where she said she wanted to marry him and buy a house together.
Yes.
She needed him to make half of the down payment on the house.
Yes.
And he did.
And he did, and
he lost like $500,000.
And even after he contacted these people that search out scammers, told him, I'd like you to look into this, but I'm pretty convinced this is Jennifer Aniston that really wants to get with me.
Yeah.
And the whole time they're investigating, like, well, we found this. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's kind of convincing, but I'm still pretty convinced that Jennifer Aniston wants to have a life with me.
Yeah.
And then they'd show him something else. It took a lot of convincing to get this 60-something-year-old dude living in probably about a 2-bedroom house. You know, there was nothing special about him.
Yeah.
Thinking Aunt Jennifer Aniston wanted to have a relationship
And he blew all his retirement on her. And it wasn't her. It was some guy probably sitting on a dirt floor with a cell phone. Anyway.
Okay. So the conversation... They're gonna sit there and and flatter you and come up with things in common. And,
yeah, I need a friend to talk to. Yeah. I'm bored. I saw your picture. You're beautiful. And
sooner or later,
once you start a conversation going, they start asking really blasé questions. This is probably the most, or the least intelligent part of their operation.
Yeah,
they start asking really stupid questions. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite food? What's your favorite movie? But they get more and more information, and then they have so much in common with you, and that's when the romance talk starts.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a week, sometimes it's 2 months, sometimes it's 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the ones that tried to romance me were, within 2 hours, they were proposing marriage and calling me wife. I mean, really. Yeah. And people actually fall for it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff they come up with, it's not just, boy, I really love you, send me some money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they come up with stuff like their kid is sick. Car wreck. They're in the hospital. They need help.
Wait. The hospital one?
Uh-huh.
A lot of them say they're in the hospital and the hospital won't release them until the entire bill is paid.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting kidnapped by hospital. I mean, and people fall for it.
Yeah.
Think about that. Even in Nigeria, if you can't pay your hospital bill, I'm pretty sure they don't hold you prisoner.
Until,
know. Yeah.
I'm not sure if any country has debtors' prisons anymore. They could, but I don't know.
Oh,
but,
and they're stuck in an airport, and customs won't let them get, take their next flight because, they're coming to see you because you're going to get married until they pay, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. And it's always an emergency situation. You got to send it to me right now. I might go to jail, et cetera, things like that. So.
I that reminds me of one of those episodes we watched on Catfish. The guy said he was coming to see this woman. I'm coming to see you. Oh, my plane crashed in the jungle, and I need $5,000 to get this guy to go out in the jungle and get the airplane and fix it.
That was awesome.
Now I need $10,000 because he's almost done fixing it, but I need to pay to get out of this whatever country. And and then it's like, well, I just landed in this other country, and now they're holding me at customs and taking all my stuff, and I need another $10,000 to pay them off so I can come in.
And this lady kept paying it. Yeah. Boy, talk about leaving your IQ at the door.
Yeah, no kidding. So when it comes to these romance scams, the big lure that's dangled out in front of you is that they're making the ultimate goal is they want to meet you in person. They really want to meet you, and this is how they start getting more money out of you.
And there's always an excuse. Now with the publishing, they're dangling that non-existent book in front of you.
Yes.
With the lotto scam. Mm-hmm. They're dangling, millions of dollars. You just keep have a little bit more. You're eventually going to get that $1 million.
There's always this goal, but there's things you have to do to get there.
Yeah, and the crypto thing, they put up these fake websites. They actually give you an account on the website, and they just use graphics to make it look like you have a little more money every day or a lot more money every day. But, you just got to keep paying more and more into it because, for every dollar you put in, they're going to put another $5 on top of that. Yep. And it just never ends. And the thing is, you're never going to meet that person in person. Yep. You're never going to get your book published. You're never going to get any lottery money. And all the money you sent to that crypto thing is gone because it's all fake. It's already been moved to Nigeria to a different bank account. The website's fake. Yeah,
exactly. And, how big is this?
It's
huge. Is this, what are we talking about? We're talking about a $16 billion in 2024.
That's just in the United States.
And that's what they know. Yeah, that's from the U.S. Uh-huh. They're doing this to people in Europe, too. Their target is, quote unquote, the West.
Yeah.
It's Europeans, that's Americans, that's Canadians, maybe some South Americans.
But the problem is the $16.6 billion from 2024 is only the people who came forward.
That is correct.
Most people are too embarrassed to admit they've been scammed, and they don't report it to anybody.
And they just slink off and don't say a word. Yes. Yep.
They don't even report it to their family.
So this could be well into, who knows, $20-30 billion.
Oh, way more than
every
that.
Year.
Yeah. Way more than
who
that.
Who knows? Okay. So, Angie, if this happens to people, how do they get their money back?
Well, chances are you're not getting your money back. If you use a credit card and you figure out quickly enough that you're getting scammed, you have a chance of getting your money back. If you pay them through any other form whatsoever, bank draft, money orders, gift cards, electronic payment services, I'm talking Zelle, PayPal, you're not getting your money back.
Yep.
As soon as you send the money, it's being siphoned away to an account overseas, and it's buying some guy part of his Mercedes. Mm-hmm. So if anybody tells you to pay anything other than through a credit card, it's a scam. Well, it's probably a scam anyway because they contacted you unsolicited.
Yeah.
But if you used anything other than a credit card, it's gone.
Yeah.
You can file as many police reports as you want. You can report to them to the FBI. You're not getting your money back.
Exactly.
Yep.
And seriously, no matter who you're talking to, dealing with, whatever, as soon as somebody asks you to pay for something in gift cards.
Or crypto.
Run away.
Yeah, right.
I mean, seriously. Oh, yeah. And that's the other thing. Crypto. Now the big thing is they tell, because they don't want anyone to be able to track that money, and they'll tell the victim, well, you need to go to your bank, take out X number of dollars, then go to this convenience store over here, and they have this stuff up on Google Maps. They know where they're sending you.
Yeah.
And then there's a machine there. It's a cryptocurrency machine, and you pour your American dollars into that machine and then tell it how much crypto you want to buy, and then you send that cryptocurrency to the scammer.
Well, the scammer is actually, they're directing you to their own crypto account. You're not going to have your own. The money's gone.
Well, I understand, but they actually have crypto machines in convenience
I've
stores.
I've never seen one, have you?
No, but we live in rural Georgia.
Well, they're also illegal in several states.
Yeah,
that should tell you something.
They have them. and you can pour a bunch of your money into this machine, mm-hmm. quote unquote, purchase crypto, and then have that shipped to whoever says that, you know, they need mm-hmm. it. So
we watched a video of a woman. She was at a convenience store and she's pouring money into this crypto, yes. and the clerk called the police.
Yeah.
And she was talking on the phone and she said, "I'm talking to my bank," and the police came up and said, "Stop."
Yeah.
And took the phone away from her and said, "We know you're scamming her." And she had already poured, you know, thousands of dollars into this machine because she didn't know any better.
Yeah. So don't, you know, I mean, unless you're a cryptocurrency expert, you know what you're doing, mm-hmm. and you're dealing with somebody that up front has said, you know, "I deal in crypto." And so, you know, if you're purchasing this, and people do that. That's all over the internet. But if you're just, you know, if you're talking to somebody and they suddenly, you know, they start talking about, "You need to send me money and you have to send it through crypto."
Yeah. It's
run,
a scam.
Run.
Yeah.
Because the whole idea is they don't want anyone to be able to track that money and find them.
And a lot of scammers do take credit cards. They encourage you to pay a different way, but they do take credit cards. They know that's a risk for them.
So can the police or our federal government get involved in this and help us get our money back?
Now, we're going to talk about it later. There have been cases where they have, extradited people for specific things. But if you go to your local police department, like I told this story before, someone we know mm-hmm. got scammed online, went to the police department, and all they told him was, "Yep, you got scammed." There's nothing they can do.
Yeah.
When you get scammed by somebody overseas, there's nothing the FBI can do. It's just not going to happen. Yep.
I don't believe that there are any extradition agreements between the United States and Nigeria. Same is probably true with the Philippines and where's the other big hotspot? Oh, India.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I have not looked this up, but I have never heard of us extraditing anybody from India for any kind of crimes.
Yeah, right.
So that's kind of a free for all there. Okay, so how does somebody detect it's a scam early on?
I mentioned this earlier. Take a picture, go to images.google.com, hmm. click on the little camera icon. You can either upload a photo or put a link to one you find online. So when somebody sends me a photo, I right-click on it, save it to my computer. I go
now, this
to
this is the romance stuff.
Yeah. Well, not just the romance stuff, because a lot of the publishing scammers, mm-hmm. when they send you an email, they got their picture under their signature, under their name.
Well, there's that, and they also have pictures of their so-called employees on their websites.
And their, authors.
Authors, and if you do this same thing, you right-click that picture, save as picture, save it in your computer, upload it to Google Images, and you'll find that that's probably some stock image from iStock Photo or God knows where.
Yeah. So, again, unfortunately, the elderly don't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the reasons we're spreading the word, telling people, you know, if you go to writersweekly.com, click on the contact us button, send the photo to me and I'll do the search for you if you don't know how to do it. I'll be happy to do that for you. Every time I've done this, multiple exact same images pop up on mm-hmm. Google, and a lot of them say scam, 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 because they've used the same photos over and over and over. So that is the easiest way to detect the scammers.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, still on the romance scam here. Now listen, I understand as a red-blooded American man, it's always nice to have somebody who is sexually attracted to you. But under no circumstances, let's just drive it home here.
Okay.
Don't send a naked picture of yourself to anybody ever.
That's just stupid.
Electronically. Period.
Yeah. Well, not even by mail.
Even if you know them, don't do it.
Yeah, that's just stupid.
You want to share some naked photos, you said go get a Polaroid. But
And don't mail it.
But the big thing, and especially this is really hitting teenagers, is they get somebody and you know, you're some young guy and this person that's texting you now that found you on Facebook and, you know, or dialed the wrong number and now they're talking to you because you're a nice guy and you're getting these pictures of some really hot little chick and now she wants a naked picture of you. So he does that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they've got something to extort you with.
Right. Yeah.
You want to go deeper into that?
Yeah. Wait, actually, I've got some examples, but it might not even be that you sent it to somebody. Sometimes.
Well, that's true.
We know somebody who was sharing a cloud account with somebody else, and that other person's phone got stolen.
Yep.
And this person, the victim, had one picture on her own phone, and the person who stole the phone found that picture, knew what the phone number was attached to that cloud account, and tried to blackmail mm-hmm. that person. She didn't even send the picture to anybody, but she had a picture on her phone.
Yep.
So you don't even have to be stupid and send a picture.
It wasn't us.
No, it wasn't us.
Somebody we knew.
Well, if somebody did do that to me and threatened to send pictures. So what they do is, you know, we've got this picture. We're going to send it to everybody on your friends list on Facebook, all of your contacts on your phone and everything. And if somebody ever does that to me, I just hope they make me look thinner, younger. But there are no pictures of me on my phone or anywhere else because, well, I'm not stupid. And I just mentioned Facebook. Meta is actually in trouble right now. There's a lawsuit against them for allowing ads by known scammers on their, platforms.
So you would think that the social media and the big search engines would know to be getting rid of these scammers. Mm-hmm. Is that happening?
Not at the rate we would prefer. Mm. Whenever I have a scammer contact me, the lotto thing, the crypto, whatever, the romance scams on Facebook, I report their profile as a scam. Mm-hmm. And maybe 10% of the time they take the profile down. I actually received, first time it's ever happened, from Facebook the other day, said, we didn't even look at the profile. We don't have time. We're too busy. We got too many reports coming in. Mm-hmm. So we're just leaving it up. That's not exactly how they worded it, but that's what they said. That's
basically what it is.
They basically said, screw you, we don't care. Yeah. Well, there's a big lawsuit against them in California brewing right now that's going to become a class action. And if you have seen an ad on Facebook and got ripped off by somebody who ran an ad on Facebook, ridersweeklygood.com/ click on contact us, contact me. I will send you the contact information for the law firm in California that's handling that case.
Good. It's about time somebody's
about
doing
damn
this.
Time. Yeah. We've been trying to get them to take action for over a year now.
What we have seen, we have people that come to us and they'll say there's this ad, mm-hmm. you know, and some answered it and got scammed, some didn't, but we'll go find that ad mm-hmm. and we'll run it through our little test.
Yeah.
And find out, nope, this is a scammer. This is absolutely somebody scamming people.
And
we reach out to Facebook. We say, hey, there's somebody running a paid ad mm-hmm. who's specifically looking to rip people off. And they'll tell us, no, we're not going to take it down.
What you're referring to isn't when we just click on the profile.
Mm-hmm.
We, about a year or so ago, complained to Jennifer Newstead, who's the lead counsel for Meta, which owns Facebook and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And we were given a special email address for investigations mm-hmm. at Meta. And we started sending them detailed emails. Here's where they are on Facebook.
Yeah.
Here's their Facebook profile. Here's their name. Here's their website.
Here's their website. And here's where their website's registered.
Here's exactly what laws they're breaking. Yeah, exactly. Here's the fraud, the fake covers on their website and everything. We send them several emails with lists and lists of these fraudsters running ads on Facebook. And I think Facebook took down maybe 5.
Yeah.
I think we sent them 80 or 90 over a period of, I don't know, a couple months or whatever. Yeah. And we just stopped because they were ignoring us.
So Facebook has no way to walk into a court and say, we didn't know this was happening.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they have so many people. Because it ain't just us. I can guarantee you there's millions of other people that have been sending mm-hmm. you know, correspondence to Facebook. Hey, this is a scam. This is a scam. And to sit there and say, well, there's just so much of it, we can't do anything. No, you need to get rid of those things every time you hear one.
You can't tell me that they don't have the algorithms and the technology needed to know that. For example, they
had the algorithm to figure out anybody that was supporting Trump in 2016 and managed to take their Facebook accounts down.
That's true. And a lot of other political stuff,
And a
too.
Lot of other political stuff.
Yeah. And Zuckerberg admitted
somehow
it was happening.
Somehow they could find that. Yeah. So why can't you find these scammers? Yeah,
so
exactly.
They have the technology to do it. I was reading the lawsuit today, the class action lawsuit, the paperwork. And specifically, this person bought something, turned out to be a scam, reported to Facebook. Facebook took the profile down, and the company immediately put up another profile.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me that Facebook doesn't know when that happens.
Of course they do, because
they track everything.
There are people that have been banned from Facebook who try to get on and start another mm-hmm. another
page.
Yeah. Sometimes with another computer through another email account, and they still figure it out. Their algorithm catches it, and it, you can't have this account.
Yeah.
They have the ability to track this stuff, and they don't. And here's the bottom line: they're making millions and millions and millions of dollars off these scammer ads.
Yep, that is their incentive.
And
to
so
not
why
take down
why
the
should they take any of them down?
Yeah, I mean, it might even be worth it for them to go through a big lawsuit like this, considering how much money they've made from scammer ads.
Maybe. Yeah. It's all a matter of what's going to lose us more money.
Yeah, and they also have blood on their hands because. First of all, and we've covered this in Writers Weekly, some of these scam networks actually are using human trafficking to force people to work for them.
Yes.
And Facebook knows that. Mm-hmm. And some of these scammers, which we're about to get into, have caused people to commit suicide. And I bet you, I know Facebook knows about that too.
I got something more. Some of the information I was gathering up on Yahoo Boys in Nigeria, many of them follow cult practices, mm-hmm. which will include kidnapping and killing people to get body parts so that they can have voodoo rituals to help them become more rich.
And if that doesn't tell you Satan's involved in all this, I don't know what does.
They will also, they have been tied to the illegal organ harvesting market as well. So they will kidnap people, mm-hmm. kill them, harvest their organs, sell them to a corrupt doctor.
Yep.
They're not just into the internet scam stuff.
Right. So we were talking about the sextortion scams, and they specifically target children with these. The UK newspaper The Sun was able to contact one of the scammers who was teaching other people how to do it. And the officials in the UK are calling this a public health epidemic. We specifically know two people that this happened to. They didn't commit suicide, but they were sextorted. And so if we know two people, actually three because of that female I was talking about a minute ago.
Okay.
Imagine how many people we know that haven't told anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so embarrassing. So imagine how many victims out there that are just silent.
Yep.
Now, several months ago, maybe even longer than that, we shared this information with our adult children mm-hmm. and telling them never, ever send a compromising photo of yourself to anybody. Mm-hmm. Well, turns out it doesn't even need to be a compromising photo. They can Photoshop your face on top of anything and blackmail you. And teenagers are falling for it. They're actually believing that they have to pay money or their life's going to, just be turned upside down. And the thing is, and what we told that woman that I was talking about, you don't respond to them.
Yeah.
First of all, you never start a conversation with them. Okay. Again, spammers are scammers. Don't respond to anybody. Block them. Ignore them. Whatever. Don't respond to anybody who contacts you that you don't know, that you don't really know. And remember, there's going to be people on Facebook that you think you know, but they're just stolen your friends' names. So if you respond to them at all, they're going to keep coming back for more and more and more. They're not going to let you go. And
again, these guys literally train themselves. They learn psychology.
Mm-hmm.
They understand how to read you and figure out where your triggers are and how to get you emotionally enthralled into whatever they're offering, whether it's the romance, whether it's money, whether it's a publish your book and get rich.
Yeah.
Whatever they're offering, they know how to push your buttons and get you hooked on that.
Yeah, and once you or your child responds or, God forbid, sends them money, it's never going to end.
Yeah.
They are never going to let you go.
So once they've scammed you,
mm-hmm.
They don't just take your money and off they go to find somebody else. There's more money to be made. How do they do that?
Well, if you flat out tell them, I know you're a scammer, and you walk away, or if you run out of money temporarily, they've already given your name and contact information to other scammers in their network and possibly sold it to other scammers online on the black dark web.
That's right.
So, unfortunately, there is a certain type of mentality of people that fall for scams
mm-hmm.
for a variety of reasons. And chances are they'll fall for it again and again. We've had authors contact us who have fallen for the fake publishing scams 2, 3, 4 more times in a row. And they just don't learn God bless them.
Yeah.
So it's.
And what gets really sickening though is we're starting to hear from people who will reach out to us and we'll tell them what we offer
$975
as a legitimate business. Yeah. And then they'll come back with, well, you know, I've already been scammed 3 times. How do I know I can trust you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know,
well, go back and look at the 25 years we've been online. You could find all kinds of stuff that we've put out online. Articles and writings.
I tell
and
people, listen to our podcast.
Listen to our podcast.
I mean, clearly we're not Nigerian,
but this is the problem: is most people don't want to do any homework to make sure they don't get scammed.
But so they contact us, and I tell them, you know, we've been in business we're in our 26th year. Yep. We've got an excellent reputation. We've published more than 16,000 print and electronic books in the past 25 plus years. Mm-hmm. You can read Writers Weekly, years and years worth of Writers Weekly, which we publish.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that we're located in the United States. We are registered corporation in Florida, and we're registered as a foreign corporation in Georgia. Foreign just means you weren't originally in Georgia. You were in a different state in the United States. You know, we've got a real U.S. mailing address. It's just all the covers on our website are original.
Are ours.
They're ours, yeah. All of the author photos and testimonials, this is how we differ from the scammers. They're real author photos. They really have their book covers. They're real quotes. And we link to where people can buy their books.
Yeah.
Okay, the scammers, they just put somebody's name and picture up with a fake quote. There's no link to buy their book. If you're a publisher, wouldn't you want people to buy that book so you would make some money too?
Yeah, exactly.
So all the books on our website you can buy. So anyway, but people become skeptical and then they ask me, well, how can I trust you? Honestly, a scammer is going to give you 1,000 reasons to trust them and they're all fake.
Yeah.
I just tell people, here's where we are. Here's what we do. Here's what we've been doing it. Look us up on betterbusinessbureau.org and BBB.org. And a certain percentage will go back and get scammed again.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of times if people will share some of the messages with us that they get from these scammers, right away, the first thing we start seeing is, wait a minute, this person's not an English speaker.
Yeah.
Because they make all these mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
But they know that once they've got you hooked and they've got you interested and they got your emotions worked up, people ignore the red flags. They ignore the contradictions when they say one thing one day and something different the next.
Mm-hmm.
They ignore all the grammatical errors and the language errors and the stuff like that.
They've put, you know, the first $500 or $1,000 or $20,000 into the project, they are so hopeful that this is real that they will ignore all the warning bells. Yeah.
Yep. So, that's something we see a lot is that once they're invested in it, they will ignore everything that says there's something wrong here.
Yep. Yeah. So, let's divert back from publishing to all the other scams.
To the romance
scam. And it's always somebody in the military or somebody who's working on a big contract overseas. Oil rigs. That's a big one. Lots of those guys working on oil rigs, including the last one that. Yeah. The last thing he said to me was F you. He's the real worried.
It makes it very easy, one, for them to come up with stories about why they need money to come see you, because they need money to leave that oil rig and come up, or the military guy doesn't have any money and he's going to take leave and you have to pay for his land.
Oh, yeah.
They use these identities a lot because it also gives them an excuse of why they may ghost you for a couple of weeks or so, or just disappear for a while and then come back. Oh, well, of course, I'm in the military. We had a mission we had to go on. I couldn't talk to you. Or oil rig. Oh, well, we were busy and I couldn't reach out to you. You know,
one thing that we've heard several times is the victims were told that the person's in the military and they need to pay to take leave.
Yeah.
Now, Brian,
that never
your ex-army.
Yep.
Yep, that's a complete fabrication.
I never had to pay any money to take leave. Mm-hmm. I simply had to, you have to accrue that leave. You have to earn that leave. And once you have that leave, it's like vacation for you civilians. Mm-hmm. You go to your boss, your commander, and you put in a form that says, I want to take X number of days of leave on this date from this date. And they either say yay or nay.
Yeah.
And you
But they
go.
Don't charge you for
but
it.
They don't charge you money, and they certainly don't require somebody else, you know, send money from across the world to get you out of there. And then I believe you were talking to a romance scammer for a while that told you he was an oil rig worker.
Yeah, that was the most recent one. Yeah, he was the one that, he was from New Orleans working on an oil rig in, what was the name of the ocean? Oh, man.
Oh, that's right. It was a fake ocean.
Yeah. It was like Italy Ocean or something. Yeah. It was an ocean. I didn't say anything because I was just reeling him in.
Yeah.
And had a fake kid at a boarding school. That's really common, too. Their kids in a boarding school.
Mm-hmm.
And his was in Canada. And his 15-year-old was in medical school, boarding school. He was becoming a doctor. Okay, so the guy on the oil rig, I told him, hey, send me a video of what you're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
He said, okay, well, give me a few minutes. Never got the video.
Yeah.
A couple days later, hey, send me a video. What are you and your buddies doing? He said, they just eaten dinner. I said, oh, what did the chef make, you know, the cook make for you? And he made up something. I can't remember what he said. He sent me a video. Oh, we're not allowed to make videos and send them because we had a security incident on the rig, and now we're all forbidden. If I take a video, I could get fired.
I believe you had somebody you were doing, you asked them to send you a photo of what they were doing right at that moment, and they sent you like a picture of them in the gym, and then you upload that to Google, and by God, there was that picture all over the internet.
Yep. Sent me the picture. Now, the whole time
I believe it was like from a year prior.
I said, send me a picture of what you're doing right now. 5 minutes later, he sends me a picture of himself. It's the same face as, you know, the guy who's been trying to scam me.
Yeah.
It's the same guy, but he said, I just took this 15 minutes ago.
Now, let me clarify, because we're talking fast here, but it's not a picture of the scammer.
Right.
It's a picture the scammer stole from the internet, and this is the person they're claiming to be.
Mm-hmm.
But that head can go on multiple bodies and or appear in multiple places. But they'll also steal.
He had taken a bunch of photos from the guy's Facebook.
Yes,
exactly. Facebook profile. So you know, I get this picture of this jacked up older dude, you know, lifting weights and everything. And he said, I just took that 15 minutes ago. I just finished working out. And so, you know, images.google. Da, 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 and I'm like, that picture's a year old. Now, I was saving all of this evidence, especially showing how many websites this picture's on and everything, in a folder under his fake name for the minute that I was going to reveal that I had reverse scammed him.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that with all three of them. So the minute they knew they were caught, I just started uploading all these images and stuff. I've been doing the research the whole time. And every single one of them, the last thing he said to me was F you.
Now, I want to, real quick, I want to jump over to something that has always, it's kind of haunted me. It's one of those episodes that we watched of the catfish. There was an episode where they dealt with a woman that was being scammed by somebody who did exactly this. They took pictures and videos from some guy's Facebook post. He was a successful real estate guy.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman thought she was talking to this and I don't even think he said he was a real estate guy. You know, the scammer said he was, you know, it was just this good-looking dude, right? And this good-looking dude was sending her pictures of his two daughters, and you know, and talking about all the stuff he was doing. Da 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 da.
Grandma.
Of course, you know, now, you know, the scammer team comes in and starts investigating, and they found the actual Facebook profile of the actual person whose picture this scammer was using. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And so they show this woman, okay, you know, this picture of this good-looking guy, that is not who you're talking to. You're talking to a scammer.
He's a victim also.
Yeah, this is the real guy. Here's his Facebook post. Here's his picture of him and his wife. And the woman's like, wait a minute, he's married?
She wasn't
even connecting the fact that you were not talking to this guy. And they showed her a video that he posted, you know, just holding his phone, you know, backwards on his face as he's driving through some neighborhood. Hey, I just closed on this really nice house, da 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 da. Feel like that. And she's sitting here watching that, getting angry. Look at the smirk on that face. Again, she was not separating
yeah.
the real guy whose identity basically had been stolen and the scammer who she's never going to see the real face. You know, she was still, after they explained to her, this is a scammer. This mm-hmm. is somebody else using this guy's pictures and information and scamming you. She's sitting here getting angry watching a video from the real guy.
Yeah. Who had nothing to do with
who had nothing to do with it. He wasn't even aware he was being used for this. And that's how screwed up people get psychologically with this stuff.
Right, when they've fallen in love with a fake person.
Yeah.
Was that the same chick who the guy had been using the guy's kid's picture?
Yes.
She needs a new mommy, or he needs a new mommy.
Yeah, exactly.
And she said, but what about Bobby or whatever?
Was that the
same woman?
Something like that. And she's like, I was chatting with her too, and she was such a nice little girl.
Mm-hmm.
No, you weren't talking to that little girl. You were talking to a scammer in Nigeria who was pretending to be this guy's little daughter and can't wait to make you a mommy.
And she just...
She couldn't separate them. Even when these professionals were sitting here explaining it to her, she couldn't separate it.
And that's happening.
And that's
happening.
And it's happening to all kinds of people.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. We talked about celebrity scams, stealing family photos. We just did that.
The trust me part of the scam, I mentioned this earlier.
Trust me.
Every single scammer that I talk to
mm-hmm.
says, trust me. Yeah. It's all over their scripts. Mm-hmm. And it's a psychological maneuver.
Yeah.
If you say it enough, that person just might start trusting you.
Yeah.
And I've seen so many emails from other victims, and it's trust me, trust me, trust me. And mm-hmm. it's incredible, and it works. So one of the guys that was trust me, trust me, mm-hmm. He's the one that pretended to be a famous tenor in Ireland that nobody's ever heard of.
I remember him.
Yeah, I remember him. And he was doing the trust me over and over again. He wanted me to pay him several hundred dollars to be in part of his fan club, and he connected me with his manager, mm-hmm. and the manager sent me the information. It was an American name,
uh-huh.
female American name on an American bank account, Chase Bank, the account number and the routing number. Of course, I didn't send any money.
Yeah.
And I reported that to Chase Bank
yeah.
and sent copies of the messages. Crickets. That's not the first time I've heard of Chase Bank being involved in this stuff. Now, I don't think Chase is involved in the scams, but I think Chase is probably not doing enough to take care of them.
Yeah.
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 And so Money Mules is that whoever that bank account belonged to, that female, and I looked up the address. It's a house in the middle of a neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's a money mule.
Well, it could be.
Well, whether she knows it or not.
Well, since we're not naming her, okay, let's say she is a money mule. Okay,
Whether she knows it or not, she's accepting money on behalf of a scammer and probably keeping a percentage of it and sending the rest on to the scammer.
Yep.
And whether you know it or not, ignorance is no excuse for breaking the law, and you can go to jail for that.
Yep.
Anytime somebody asks you to accept money for them,
mm-hmm.
that's a huge, huge red flag. And a lot of these are people that were scam victims. They ran out of money, and then the scammer says, hey, I can help you earn some money, some of your money back. Do this for me.
Yeah.
Work for me now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we mentioned gift cards, and you actually had one of these guys requesting a gift card from you. How do the gift card things work?
Well, the oil rig guy, his kid's birthday was coming up, and I tell you, every single day, and he called me within a couple days, was calling me wife. Mm-hmm. Of course, he was going to, you know, come here after his, he was going to come here sometime in November after his oil rig contract mm-hmm. ended. And he called me wife, and he called his son our son.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So trying to rope me in psychologically with, you know, his sweet boy, and sent me a picture of his son, which was also, you know.
Because after five kids, you want another.
Right. Yeah. Some fake kid. Yeah. Whose picture's all over the internet. Wanted me to send his son that weekend a $1,000 Apple gift card. So let me explain how this works. You go buy a gift card, you scratch off the back, you send a picture to the scammer, or you just provide the numbers.
Yeah.
The scammer can instantly cash in that gift card online. It's no longer good on your end.
Exactly.
And they move that money
quick
within a nanosecond. Yeah. There are so many stories online of people, employees at drugstores and stuff where they have sell gift cards,
yep,
stopping elderly people from spending thousands and thousands and thousands on gift cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I read one today. I think it was CVS. The employee walked up. This woman was trying to buy multi gift cards, $1,000 each.
Yep.
And she said, well, you know, honey, I think you're in trouble. You need to tell me what's going on. And she said, well, I'm on the phone with my bank and they're telling me what to do. And it wasn't the bank.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So gift cards never, ever, ever, ever. Well, come on.
And we even, a friend of mine from church who owns a restaurant here in town.
Oh, yeah.
He had an employee who somebody called her, claimed to be with the FBI, said they were doing some big undercover investigation for some kind of fraud or something to do with the business.
They said they had the business owner and his wife in their office at that moment.
Yeah. And then sent her across the street to go to a pharmacy and
first had
buy,
her get into the safe at the
and,
restaurant
and get money,
get all the cash out,
get money, and then go buy gift cards and then give those numbers to them and stuff.
And she did it.
So it you never know who's going to get you.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they knew her name.
Yeah.
Again, this was just somehow. This was an electronic identity theft. They figured they were able to add things together and figure out who was who and where they were.
But they anyway, even knew that the owner wasn't and, on a site at the time.
Somehow, yes. And so when somebody calls you and immediately, you know, and it's so important, you have to go get a gift card. You need to hang up with them right there and then. Yeah. It is always a scam.
It always is a scam.
Because, you know, that's, I mean, you know, if you got to wire someone money, you can wire money at Western Union, you know.
But, well, even Western Union.
But
is,
even that's, yeah. But I'm saying, as soon as you
either.
Hear gift card, get you know, buy me a gift card, take a picture of it, you are dealing with a scammer. Now, Angie, one of the most disgusting things about this whole thing is that Yahoo boys have a specific name for their victims.
Well, it's a very respectful name.
Uh-huh.
Clients.
Their victims are called their clients.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, lemon.fr, and that's a French website, and we will it's in English, don't worry. We'll post a link to it under this episode on writersweekly.com/podcast, episode 25. They interviewed a scammer, and he explained how he reels in women. He suddenly, during the interview, suddenly changed his voice and said, I need a girlfriend that I can trust, like I need you. Can you be my girlfriend? And I was reading the piece, and it was like the interviewers are like, what? And he's in Lagos, Nigeria. His name is Ben, but you know that's a fake name. You were mentioning the guy who's shined shoes, tennis shoes. He repaired generators for a living, but his income was so low that he turned to romance scamming 2 years ago. He said they all wake up in the morning and text the victim, and I know how that works. Yep. First thing in the morning, before I even open my eyes, there's already a text on my phone from one of those, you know, fake romance scammers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they check up on him. They see how you're doing. You know, what did you eat for breakfast? Are you taking care of yourself? They truly pretend to care about you because, you know, you're going to be together forever. Mm-hmm. So they're really loving and so sweet and give you so much attention. In the interview, he's sitting on a metal chair near some metal shacks, and I guess he's not doing so well with those scams.
Maybe, yeah.
Also, in the background, there were two guys like laying in the dirt, napping in the sun.
So even more scams.
Okay, so we'll go through this list quickly. Your bank account's been hacked.
Okay.
I was actually watching a news segment about that today because this one's really exploding right now. You get a phone call from your bank, except it's not your bank, and they say, your account's been hacked. We need to have you move your money to a new account right away. Click on, you know, this link on your phone or call this number or scan this QR code, whatever, because sometimes it comes by email. And long story short, while you're frantically trying to move your money before it gets stolen, you are giving them all of your information, whatever you're clicking on, whatever you're typing in. They'll send you a link to go to a website that looks just like your bank's website, but there's like one letter off. You type in your username, your password. Within 5 seconds, your money is gone.
If you get a phone call or an email saying, this is your bank, this is Google, this is Gmail, this is your financial something, whatever, and you need to click on this link because you had to change your information because there's, you know, they're going to, you've been hacked.
Danger,
whatever.
Danger.
Whatever.
Yeah, right.
You stop everything right there and then. You don't click on anything. You don't scan a QR code. You don't call. You look up your bank's customer service number.
At the real website, not the one that they just sent you a link to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you look up if it's Bank of America, it's bankofamerica.com. If it's, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you initiate a phone call to your bank. You don't call the number somebody sent in an email. And if it's a legitimate situation, they're going to have that record. They're like, oh, yeah, we did send you an email and here's what
Except
we need you to do.
That's not what they do. Your bank is not going to flag your account for possible fraud and call you right then and emergency need to transfer.
No,
they
won't.
They're going to lock down your account.
Exactly.
They're not going to have you open a new account and transfer money to that.
Yes, so. But I'm saying if they sent you correspondence, they have a record of correspondence that they sent to you.
And
so anyway,
100% of the time,
never click on the link that you're sent. Or scan the QR code that you're sent.
Or talk to them on the phone
if
they call
you. Or call the number that they give you.
Hang up and call your bank, yeah.
Or just, okay, thanks, I'm going to hang up on you right now, and I'm going to call back to the customer service number and get this taken care of.
And I don't recommend doing that.
Or just hang up.
Because some people are vulnerable.
Okay.
And the scammers will talk them into staying on the phone.
Okay.
So just hang up and call your bank. 100% of the time, you're going to call your bank, and they're going to say, that was a scam. It always is. We're from the government. Here's another one.
And we're here to help
you. It's basically sort of the same thing, but they'll say they're with the Social Security Administration, or they're with the IRS, you're about to get audited. There's, local government, we got an arrest warrant. You need to immediately wire money to this account so to make that go away. Your kid.
And I can tell you from 15 years in law enforcement, it never works that way.
Yeah,
if there's a warrant for you, that means they're coming to get you.
Yeah, right.
There is no sending somebody money to make a warrant go away.
Yeah, right.
It never happens that way. If there's a warrant for you, you may as well say, well, here I am, come and get me.
Yep.
And wait for them to come get you. Because, there is no amount of money somebody can just pay to make an arrest warrant go away.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work like that.
And probably everybody's heard of this, but just in case, they use AI. They can grab people's voices from the internet, use AI to twist the words around, call their relatives, and they can get your phone number from Facebook, and they know your nephew's name is, you know.
Just maybe a month or 2 months ago, a woman in Florida got a phone call, and she said it sounded exactly like her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And her daughter said, I've been in an accident, and there's a guy here who's an attorney, and he says to, you know, we have to send him $5,000 or I'm going to wind up going to jail.
Yeah.
And the woman sent the money.
Yep. They'll say it's your kid, your nephew. It really sounds like your kid or your nephew or your grandkid or whatever. It's a scam.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then she got another call saying that her daughter was in jail and she needed to send $10,000 to somewhere else to get her daughter out of jail. And her daughter never was at home.
Yeah.
Just fine. No problems.
Yeah.
You know.
Hang up the phone and call the actual person or somebody who lives with that person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The new home trick, you've got a lot of money and they know it. And this person, the scammer, pretends to be a realtor. And there's this house that it's your perfect dream home. There's a bunch of people bidding on it, but you can get in first and they can make sure that you get that house.
Yep.
And people are actually falling for it without even seeing the house.
And making a down payment online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Phishing is basically when they try to get all the personal information they can about you so they can steal your identity. And, what some people don't realize is if they have your address, name, and Social Security number, they can file an address change with the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
And the IRS will send you a letter like 6 months later or a year later telling you that we reprocessed your address change. It takes forever.
Yeah.
We moved here 4 years ago, and every 6 months I still get a letter from the IRS. We processed your address change. There's some bottleneck going on there.
They can file tax returns in your name.
Yes. Once they have that information, they can give a different address, ask IRS to send a check, or to wire the money because they're giving the IRS, you know, a different bank account.
Yep.
They will file a fake tax return using your name and your Social Security number, and the IRS is coming after you.
Yep.
Later, not the scammer.
Exactly.
You know, they can max out your. Okay, so how the romance thing works is, hey, we really like each other. We're in love. We should put our bank accounts together. Let's just have one bank account,
mm-hmm.
and we'll put each other's names on each other's credit cards. And so let's just open a new bank account. I'll move my money in, and you move your money in. Well, so stupid old lady moves her, you know, her $500,000 into this new bank account that she thinks is under her name and the other person's name, except it's not a real bank account. It's a fake bank website.
Yep.
And then the money's gone. Yep. Of course, the scammer didn't put any money into it at all. They'll steal your, you know, they'll max out your credit cards. Again, sky's the limit.
Yeah.
They've thought of everything. And if they have all of that personal information, you know, why don't you send me your Social Security number, a picture of your ID, you know, your credit card. I need to borrow your credit card. Trust me, trust me, trust me.
Yep.
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 Fake websites. They set up fake websites to sell fake, really expensive things at really cheap prices, like cars. And people actually, well, people do buy cars online now. Was it CarMax?
Yeah.
I'm sure they're not involved in it, but they'll put up a website and put, you know, this Lamborghini for, you know, $1,500 instead of $15 million, you know, whatever. And people actually fall for that and do it. And again, they're going after the big fish, the whales.
You know, interestingly, when I was looking at lawnmowers on Facebook Marketplace, there was an ad for Tractor Supply selling Cub Cadet riding lawnmowers for like, ridiculous, like $200, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a $1,000, you know, machine.
Yeah.
But they're saying, you know, several stores in your area are closing, so we have to get rid of this inventory. And if you'll just click over here, this will take you to the Tractor Supply website, and it'll guide you on how to, you know, pay for this lawnmower that will get delivered to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked it up. It's all over YouTube. They're like, this is a big scam. Yep. Scam. It looks like you're going to the Tractor Supply website, but it's not Tractor Supply website. And you click, and you can give them your credit card number, but there ain't no lawnmower coming to you.
Was it Tractor Supply instead of Tractor Supply?
I don't know. I'd have to
like
go.
That.
You know, but that I've seen that ad several times, still on Marketplace. You know, they don't take it down, and it's clearly it doesn't take but a quick little search on YouTube, and it's all over that this is a big scam.
Yeah.
And Facebook won't take that down. But they make you think you're going to get a cheap lawnmower.
Yeah.
Online jackpot and lottery. They'll make a victim think that they won the money, but they have to pay something first to get that. They'll either say that's handling fees, taxes, or, you know, et cetera. And once you pay for that, they'll ask for more and more money. Of course, you never get your $1 million.
Yeah, the Yahoo boys are big into the lotto scams. Of course, and what we mentioned earlier, dating websites.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Yeah.
Just go to church and meet somebody nice in your town.
Yeah.
Stay off the dating websites.
So it's usually impossible to figure out exactly where these people are. They do use VPNs to hide their locations.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody contacts you from a Gmail email account and you search the IP address on that email, it'll pop up saying that they came from like California. It won't show you that they're actually in Nigeria.
Yep. Yep. We're going to make this a two-parter because we have a lot more information from specific victims. But before we wrap up for today, we're going to tell you about Darmy Ritchie.
Go for it.
Okay. who's the richest boy in Nigeria? Well, it was Darmy Ritchie. He was worth $410 million.
And I know that's true because one of the, they're actually, you can go on YouTube and search for richest Yahoo boys.
Yeah.
And they're usually created by a Nigerian. It's kind of hard to understand their English,
mm-hmm.
but they will tell you these guys worth in Nigerian money. And it's always in the billions of Nigerian money. So yes, it's easily conceivable these guys are worth several millions in American money. Go ahead.
Well, we found a link that shows their value in U.S. dollars and, you know, the top to the bottom, and you know they're all in the millions. But the Darmi Ritchie was 410 million. He was also a Nigerian socialite based in Dubai.
Yeah.
Well, he's dead. Shocker.
Go on.
He allegedly killed himself.
Okay.
Maybe he did that because he just couldn't stand the guilt anymore. No, probably not.
Or it could just be that all his riches and all his cars and all his clothes and all his life just wasn't satisfying him.
Yeah.
Because he was going after all the wrong things in life.
Yeah, there's that. He jumped off the balcony in his apartment in Lagos, Nigeria.
There you go.
He did.
$410 million this guy was able to rack in.
Yep.
From scams.
Yep.
Others, you want to go through some of these?
No, I tell you what, because we're over an hour.
Okay.
Let's break, and in the next episode, we'll start by talking about Ray Hushpuppy.
Okay.
He's worth $70
million. So, yep, this is going to wrap up this half of the Yahoo Boys episode. So we'll be getting back with you again next week with part number two.
And we are going to be talking about Ray Hushpuppy. We're also going to be sharing the stories of actual victims who have fallen for this, including the heartbreaking stories of several teenagers who were victimized, some of which committed suicide, and also some adults who committed suicide because this completely destroyed their lives. And it's really important that parents know about this, because trust me, they've contacted you, and if your kid is online, they've contacted your kid already.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Okay. Well, that wraps this up for today, and we will see you next time on the Writers Weekly Podcast.
Have a great night, everybody.
Bye.